grab your Bibles. Oh my goodness, I'm telling you what, we are so blessed, everybody. We are just blessed with His presence today. Praise and worship team, thank you as always. Love y'all. Y'all good. Jesus is good. Amen. Would you stand with me and honor the reading of the Word of God? I'm starting a brand new series today called Holy Pockets. Holy Pockets. And I'm going to talk to you for a minute about understanding the blessings God has given you. What does it mean? What does it say? It will talk about finances. It will talk about that. And I know some of you are going, oh, take a deep breath. Because it's going to be something so much deeper than your career, your money, who you're with. So much deeper than that. So let me give you the background. I want you to turn to Haggai chapter 1. Haggai. Not Haggai. Haggai. And I want you to turn there because what we have here at this point when he addresses them, the children of Israel have been in bondage for 70 years under Babylonian captivity because of their disobedience of turning away from God. Really, moving away from relationship with God. They are now placed there, and at this point, they've been released to return. I'll give you more history in just a moment. They've been released to return, but when they return back to Jerusalem, it's in a shambles, not just physically, but spiritually they're in shambles. Financially they're in shambles. Their relationships are in shambles. See, whenever you disobey God, it affects everything else. It just trickles all the way through. It's just, money is just the manifestation of what's happening on the relationship side. And they don't know why they can't get ahead. They don't know why it's not working. They're out of captivity, but why do we still feel like we're living in a way that's still like captives? And Haggai, the Lord sends Haggai, the prophet, to give this word. So let's go to verse 2, Haggai 1, verse 2. Let's start there. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. The people are saying, the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. That's all code language for something else. Then the Lord sent this message through the prophet Haggai. Why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Look at what's happening to you. You have planted much, but harvest little. You eat, you're still not satisfied. You drink, but you're still thirsty. You put on clothes, but cannot keep warm. Watch. Your wages disappear, though you were putting money in them, as though you were putting putting them in pockets filled with holes. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Look at what's happening to you. Here's the answer. Now, go up into the hills, bring down timber, and rebuild my house. Then I will take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. He said, your wages, this is how you're feeling. You're working hard, but your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. God really wants you to be blessed with some holy blessed pockets, not holes in your pockets. So you may not believe this, so I want you to tell somebody this so you can make a statement if they say, you know, God really wants to bless me. Come on, tell them that. High five and say, God really wants to bless me, because He does. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. So let me give you a little history here and a little background so you can put it in context, and I'm going to wrap it around to what Jesus says today. So here's the deal. At this point, coming back to Israel, it's not what it used to be in its glory when the presence of God was with him when King David led. King David was known as a man after God's own heart, and the heart speaks to the issue of a deep, burning relationship between him and God. So much so that God wanted to dwell with the people. And in the Old Testament, that God's presence dwelt in a temple or a tabernacle. And what God wanted to do is God wanted to have the tabernacle so he could be with the people to direct them, protect them, whatever it is. He wanted to pour it out on them. He wanted to bless them in so many ways. David was so blessed in that relationship that their nation was feared by everybody. Everything was successful. Every battle just seemed like victory after victory after victory. And David was in such close relationship with God that he opened his hand when God said, build me a place because I want my presence to be with people. I want to be with y'all. I want relationship. So do you know what his offering? Not what the nation gave or the leaders gave. What his offering was? He dipped into his savings account and gave an offering of 112 tons of gold out of his own bank account. Then he went over and gotten 260 tons of silver for the temple for God's presence and gave 260 tons of silver, and God was there with him. Favor was on him. Blessing was on him. It seemed like everything, and everybody around them was blessed because David's relationship with the Lord was so tight, he lived open with God on everything, everything. Well, that's not where they're living now. In fact, what happened, the people started distancing themselves from God. Their relationship started breaking with God. And then something happened when a man by the name of King Nebuchadnezzar in 586 BC comes along, and he literally destroys Jerusalem and the temple that David had built where there was once this relationship and blessing. Every time you and I disobey God, I'm telling you, trouble follows it all the time. And when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the city, he destroyed it. His military strategy was a scorched earth policy. That's what he did. Everything so they can never use it again. That's how bad things were torn apart. And now the people of Israel, who once lived in the blessing, are now living under Babylonian captivity, the demonic spirits, all this stuff. They've got to live there. God allowed them to live there for 70 years under Babylonian captivity. Well, you begin to study scripture, you study history. A guy by the name of Cyrus, in the middle of that 70 years, Cyrus goes and conquers Babylon in 538 BC. He destroys him. And then God puts something on Cyrus, who he's now ruling over these Jews, and God puts in his heart to tell them, I want you to go and rebuild from the scorched earth policy of Nebuchadnezzar, and I want you to rebuild the temple. In fact, you don't have anything, so I'm going to give you all the supplies and the money for provisions, but go rebuild your temple. It wasn't about a building. It wasn't about money. It was about a relationship with his presence. Get that straight, everybody. Just get that straight. Well, they go back, and for 4 months, they allow 50,000 Jews over a four-month period, 50,000 Jews to return. And they start rebuilding from the scorched earth policy of Nebuchadnezzar. So there they are, and they take the finances that were given to them by somebody else. How many know sometimes God will use somebody else to bless you? It's called your job. It's called your job. And they started rebuilding. And remember, it's not about a building, and it wasn't about money. It was about relationship in the presence of God. And they start building the foundation. And after 2 months in the building, they start getting opposition, criticism, and they get intimidated by their enemies, and they stop building. 2 months, just 2 months into having all that cash, and they stop. So where's the cash going? It speaks to their relationship. Watch this. You'd think they'd rebuild the project. But 16 years later is when the prophet Haggai is coming to them. Because for 16 years they made excuses, and somebody blessed them, and God put it on their heart, and they stopped getting the presence of God to people. 16 years, and they let a project sit for 16 years. How many know what I'm talking about? How many of you still have that project your husband started? It still ain't done. Don't raise your hand. Do not raise your hand. 16 years. And they're wondering, why can we never get ahead? Why is it that there's no resources? Why is it there's no prosperity? Why is it that when we do get what we want, when we finally get it, we're still unhappy when we get it, and we got to have more, we got to have more, we got to have more, we got to have it. It's got to be bigger, better car. It's got to be better vacation. I can't get more. Why is it? He says, let me explain why it's happening to you. He said, you have forgotten your relationship with God, and now it's reflected in your love for him. And now what you were blessed with, you are now taking care of yourself. And now you're living with holes in your pocket, and it goes right through. You know what I'm talking about? It's not just two jobs now, you got three. Why can't I ever get ahead? Why is it that when I got to have more. And so you got your more, you got the car you wanted, and you're still not satisfied with it. He said, you wanted the vacation, and now you went to Vegas, you went to Disney, you maxed the cards to go do it because you got to go have it, and you maxed them all out, and you still are not feeling like you're on the happiest place on earth. Man, I did have to go and do Disney, didn't I? Man, what a bummer. It's not about that. It's not about the money. It's what he's saying. Nothing satisfies. You got a new boyfriend. You got a new girlfriend. You got a new husband. You got a new wife. You got a new school. You got a new job. And why is it? You got a new church. You're in a new church. And it's like holes in your pocket. Everything goes. Nothing completes. You're never satisfied. You can't get enough. You just can't get enough. He said, the reason why is that your relationship with God has nothing to do with money. Has nothing to do with the relationship. It's reflecting through those things that you've neglected the relationship with God. My question to you is, what kind of pockets do you want? Do you want holy, H-O-L-E-Y, or do you want some H-O-L-Y pockets? How many want holy, blessed pockets today? Come on, who wants blessed pockets? I do. What kind of pockets do you want? You want ripped pockets, or you want some pockets that are reaping pockets? What do you want, young man, at 13 years of age? You want torn pockets? I know you can have torn jeans. Keep those, but don't tear the pockets. You want torn pockets? You want treasured pockets? What do you want? You want broke pockets all the time, and I can't figure out why I'm not satisfied with the new boyfriend. I'm not satisfied with the job. I'm not satisfied I got the career. I'm not satisfied it just keeps going through me. Or do you want holy pockets and holy relationships and holy jobs, and you start enjoying the things God gives you? How many of you believe if you want the advice, you ought to go to the best financial advisor on the planet? This morning, you're going to hear the best financial planner on the planet. It is not me. It's not Charles Schwab. It's not Edward D. Jones. It's not your Fidelity investment guy. All those things you need to do. Let me tell you, the greatest financial advisor you'll ever hear is from God himself. And I know there's some of you that maybe come for the first time, and you say, great, my first service, the dude's going to talk about money. You're already missing it. You've already missed it. And I'm going to show you why you're missing it. He says, this is reflected. I'm talking about your relationship is broke with me. There's something that you're distancing me from, and that's why nothing's satisfying you. You're working harder and harder and harder and not getting ahead. What's the deal going on here? He says the reality is you got to listen to the one who created your life and planned your life. You say, what are you trying to say to me? What I'm trying to say is the Bible talks a lot about it because that's where it manifests the most. That's the reason why in the Bible there's about 500 verses of scripture about prayer. How many believe prayer is important? How many believe it's very important? But do you know there are over 2,350 verses in the Bible that talk to you about your money, your possessions, all those things, over 2,350. Why? Because that's where it manifests the most, and it reflects your walk with God. See, money doesn't change what you are. It exposes what you've always been. Because I've discovered what I did with 10 cents, God knew I'd do with $10,000. Because it's not about money, it's about the outflow of my relationship with him. So here's what we're going to learn over the next couple weeks. We're going to learn how to assimilate money, get an understanding of what God is trying to say. Because you're making about dollars, and some of you just freaking out, you're wigging out right now. Oh, I'm talking about my money. Everybody's after my money. Everybody wants my money. What? Yes, everybody wants your money. Taco Bell wants your money. What's changed? God's trying to point something through to you through this. He's going to teach you how to assimilate it. Watch this. He's going to show you how to even acquire and accumulate it. That he does want you to learn how to save. He wants you to be blessed through it. And then he's going to show you how to allocate it and listen to his voice of his spirit and listen to his word. Now, how many of you want to see God's blessing in your life? I do. I got both arms, my leg up. Now, here's the way you can get it. At 13 years of age and 12 years of age, you can get a revelation of this right now and be way ahead of people that are 42 sitting in this room. Right now, you can grab a hold of this. So you decide how you want to do it. People sitting there busting their backside, working 76 hours a week, working themselves to death, trying to get all they can all they get, sit on their can, and they do nothing with it. There's no purpose to it. Now listen, you can either use a key and open the door, or you can bust your backside and use a crowbar, wear yourself out, and still not be satisfied at the end of the day. How about we put away the crowbar and use a key and listen to what the financial advisor, Jesus Christ, has to say? Assimilate it, understand it. So let me show you what God is trying to speak to the people in Haggai's day. Here's what he's trying to show them. He said, first of all, what this is showing you about money, possessions, your relationships, finances, all of it, is he's trying to show you what you're really worshiping. What is the God of your worship? Is it you? Is it finances? Everybody says, oh, I love God. But he says, what this is doing is telling you the God you really worship. And worship is a big thing. Look at verse 8. This is what he's saying. Look at the code language here. He said, here's the answer to what you're doing. Dissatisfied, feels like nothing's being there. He said, go up into the hills, go bring down timber, rebuild my house. The house is code language for relationship. He says, then I will take pleasure in it and be honored. He's talking about something is getting worship over me. This is a big deal. Because it's not about a building he's talking about. Because what he wanted to do was he wanted a tabernacle. He wanted to be in the presence with the people to show them direction, to put favor on them. He says, and what happens here is this is not about a building. This is about what you worship and who really is the God. He says, and it's being exposed. So whenever God gives me promotion, or he gives you promotion, or he gives you career, you get a relationship, or you get money or finances, let me tell you what this is. It's all a test. It's all a test. Everybody say a test. Money is a test. It's testing who the God you and I really worship. In fact, money is one of the supreme tests of where your heart really, really is. And the heart speaks to the relationship. So if you make it all about money, you're going to miss it. It's about where my relationship is with him. So this is why Jesus said this in Matthew 6:21. These are the words of Jesus. He said, for where your treasure is, why don't y'all read the rest of it out loud with me? There your will be also. It's where your worship is. It's where your affection is. It's where all that is. See, and here's what happens. In any of my relationships, even my relationship with Brenda, there is something more love supreme over hers. And it better be the same back way to me, or we're in trouble. In fact, I can't put her in the right context if she's God and she's the one I worship ultimately. So what happens is when I tithe. Now, some of you hear the word tithe. Some of you don't know what the word tithe means. It means tenth. It is a principle in the scripture where they would honor God with the first 10% of their earnings. Bryn and I give back the first 10% of anything for bills. We give it back to God, we're trying to pay him off so he'll protect us or beat us up. What it says is tithe shows that he is the Lord that is worshiped over everything else in our lives. And our money, we will never bow to our money. We will never bow to people because they have money. We will not be intimidated by money because it is not the God. God is the one we worship above any material possession, relationship. God is the one we worship. Listen, you can do it with your children and be worshiping them more than you are God. You don't believe me? There's some parents that aren't in this service today because they're worshiping their kids more than they are God. And ain't no lie. Because little Throckmorton is too sweepy this morning and they couldn't wake little angel baby up. Because little angel baby was playing video games till 3 o'clock in the morning. And somehow he's going to wake up and he's going to eat his Captain Crunch cereal. It'll be so full of sugar they won't be able to hold him down. But they couldn't make it here because little Throckmorton is the God of the family. It can be a relationship. You can make your girlfriend the God. You decide how you're going to run the dating relationship on what she does or what he does. And it becomes God. This is about pointing to worship. So when I tithe and I show, Lord, you're the Lord of everything, not 10%, you own it all. And this, I'm just giving it back, God, to show you that you are the one that is worshiped in my house. And then I give offerings over that. Let me tell you what happens. I'm passing the test. I'm passing the test that he's number one in my life. I'm passing the test that I believe the word of God. And I'm passing the test that when you worship something, then you must declare that that is lordship over your life. Whatever you worship becomes lordship over your life. And I'm saying you are the lordship over everything, this church, my life, every personal issue in my life. You are Lord over everything. Are y'all grabbing a hold of that? In other words, we're in relationship, and I worship the most what I have the deepest relationship with. This is why tithing and offering, some of you need to get it out of your head about money. What it is pointing to is the depth of the relationship. That's why Deuteronomy 14:23 says, the purpose of tithing is to teach you always, let's read the rest of it together, to put God first in your lives. It's worship, everybody. And worship means whose lordship. And you know what lordship means? Lordship means ownership. It means that when I do it, he owns everything that Sam Raffkel has. He even owns the air I'm sucking in right now. You have it all, God. And I start with beginning to give you this worship, lordship. And here's what lordship does. Lordship keeps my stewardship of something from becoming worship of that something. Because some of us have been stewarding our careers, stewarding our relationships, stewarding our money, and now because you're getting stewardship and you're getting blessed, when God asks you to turn loose of things or let go of offenses or to let go of something, you have a hard time letting go because you're starting to own it. And when you own it, you become Lord and you worship it. Lordship to him, guess what it does? It keeps my stewardship of something from becoming worship of that something, so I steward everything according to his lordship because he owns everything I've got. So whatever is lordship is worshiped. He said, what I'm trying to, Haggai's trying to say is, you have now begun to worship these things and you don't know it. Here's another thing that he was trying to assimilate, trying to get him to understand, is that there was not just the God that you worship. It was the grip of the world that really has its clutches on you and you don't realize it. Let me go back to this lordship. Let me tell you why lordship is so important. Whoever has lordship has control of your life. Kids can have control of your life. Your spouse can rule over what God says you're supposed to do with your life. It has control. So my question for you and your pastor, here's the deal, is who's ruling you? Who's really the master of your life? And this is the question Jesus asked. He said, in fact, Luke 16:13, look what he says. Jesus said this, so hang with me. He says, no servant can serve how many masters? Two masters, can't be done. Because here's what happens. You will either will hate the one and love the other. He said, whatever becomes worshiped becomes lordship, and whatever has lordship has control. Watch this. Or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. He said they start working against, it always happens. Something's gonna win. And then he says this, you cannot serve God and mammon. Everybody say mammon. Now, there's a reason why I'm bringing this in, because I'm gonna bring it back to Haggai again. I want you to see something. You're gonna see the connection. Jesus Christ, let me talk slowly for a moment. Jesus Christ makes a striking difference about two spirits that control you or lead you or master you. He says there's the spirit of God and there's the spirit of mammon. There's either one or two things on the things we possess, either the spirit of God or the spirit of mammon, and guess who decides which ones gets on it? You and I do. So what he's saying here is that God and mammon are looking for people that are servants to it. One is a cruel taskmaster, and the other one brings greater favor the more you surrender to him, his lordship. And he says it's looking for worshipers. You say, that's right, Pastor Sam. Money's the root of all evil. Just like the Bible says, money is the root of all evil. You preach against that money. No, the Bible doesn't say in 1 Timothy 6:10 that money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money. So it's, you're making about money, and you're going, I don't want to hear this. You're making my money. And he said, it's about relationship. It is only a reflection of relationship. See, here's the deal. You cannot serve God in money, but you can learn to serve God with your money. That it doesn't rule me, I rule it. I'm a servant because I'm a servant to God. It serves me. So mammon, now here's the deal. When he said mammon, I said, mammon, you're going, why can't you just say money so we can all understand it? Well, when he said mammon, he was pointing to something that they immediately knew what it was. I'm going to take it back to Haggai in just a second. Mammon was a Syrian god of riches. It was a god they worshipped of wealth and riches that was supreme god to them. This god, Mammon, in Syria, came from Babylon. Now, how many remember what Babylon means? Babylon literally means arrogance and pride. So this is what the attitude when they had riches and pride. They built a tower. They said, we'll be better than God. We'll just go touch the sky, be gods ourselves. And here's what Mammon says. Mammon says, we don't need God. I'm self-sufficient in myself. That's what it says. I don't need it because I've got this. I don't need any of this. So here's what Mammon says. The spirit of Mammon tells you, you don't need God. You need riches because you don't need God anymore. Let me take it a little further. You don't need God. You finally got the boyfriend you wanted. Now you feel complete. So your confidence is in your boyfriend or your girlfriend. It's confident. I got the career. I got the degree. Now I feel confident. Now that I got my 401k plan done and I paid off the house, now I feel confident. He says, no. What you're doing is you're putting your confidence in those things. That's what the spirit of Mammon says. Since all the bills are paid and I got it all, I don't need God. I got this fixed. Now that I got married, I finally got me somebody. I'm all good now. Let's just stay home. Not go to the house of God. Get involved in the things of God. I'm preaching better than y'all letting on. So here's what Jesus is saying. There are two spirits. Now watch this. Stay with me. Stay with me. God says the spirit of Mammon can rest on your money. All money, your money, everybody's money in here has a spirit on it, and you decide which one you're going to have. Okay, somebody, who's got some bills here? Who's got some money? Money? Oh, he gives me the whole wallet, everybody. This is a man that loves God and his pastor. He gave me the whole wallet. Pull me some money out of there. I can't. Okay. Let's say this is mine now. I decide what kind of spirit I want on this money. So when Pastor Brent and I worship the Lord before his lordship, that he's owner of it, the moment that we do it, not because we're manipulated, but because we know where it came from and he's owner and we worship him, so it never has control over us. What happens is a spirit comes on our money and the spirit of God comes on it. Money surrendered to God has a purpose. Listen, money surrendered to God and his purposes multiplies and can't be devoured. So our money is protected by God himself. He'll give me wisdom how to steward. In fact, one of these Sundays, I'm going to show you how to practically do some practical things to help yourself get ahead. I'm going to share it with you. We're not just going to talk Bible. We're going to show you practical things really based out of the Bible, okay? Why will it multiply? Because God's spirit is on it. So when we don't do that, if Brent and I say, hey, listen, we're trying to get in a house, and we've been living in an apartment, and we need a house, and we got to, listen, this house is more important, and we're not going to do this. So Brent and I, we decided we're going to go plant a seed, and we're going to go build a church in Egypt. We don't care what we're going to take this money, and we're going to trust God because he's worship. We're not going to worship a house. We're going to worship our stuff. We don't care what we get. We're going to get what God wants. So that's what we did. It's crazy, crazy wild. Last Sunday when I did that, we said we got to do this. And I was dealing with this issue. The Lord said, you build my house, I'll take care of your house. Quit worrying about your house. That same week, God blessed us with a home. Now, we got to do some work on it. But it was God's blessed us with it. And we were asking God's will. That house is going to be blessed. And the spirit of God is on it. Not the spirit of Mammon's not on my house. So you said, what does the spirit of Mammon do? The spirit of Mammon wants to control you, and the way it controls is by manipulating people. Some of us are in here, got families right now where you're being manipulated by the spirit of Mammon. Your parents say, if you don't do this, you don't do this, and you don't do this, you're cut out of the will. You're cut out. It's not based on relationship. It's based on getting you to perform. That's what Mammon does. I've seen people who've actually said they give tithe but actually manipulate and still have the spirit of Mammon. Christians, I've met them. I've seen them do it before. I've seen them do it in churches. If they don't do what I want, I'll just keep my tithe. I don't like what's going on here. I'm keeping my money. Buddy, God can live without your money, but you can't. This church can live without your money. God can live without your money, but I'm telling you, he can suck it out of you in 1 second and wipe it out. You won't be able to survive. Spirit of Mammon gets on it. I've seen people do it. They're not fooling God because what they're saying is, I'm Lord. I get to control who gets what, and never listen to the word of God, never listen to the spirit of God. Spirit of Mammon gets on it. And then what Mammon makes you think is Mammon thinks, if I get this thing, then I'll finally be happy. So let's put it in relationship. If I get this guy, I get this girl, get this marriage, get this job, get this career, then I'll finally be satisfied and happy. What mammon does, it makes you think that you'll finally be satisfied, but he says you still drink and you're not still thirsty. You still eat, but you're still not satisfied because mammon never satisfies. It gives you the illusion that you will get it. How many learn anything? Okay, three of you, stick with me. Keep sticking with me, three of you. I'll finally be happy. Why does everybody want to be happy? I just want to be happy. Happy is overrated. It is so overrated. I just want to be happy. No, you want to be satisfied, and you need to find your satisfaction in the one who is satisfaction. It's Jesus Christ. He says, this is what I'm you're thinking that this is going to satisfy you. Happy people under the spirit of mammon are the most fearful people over money I've ever met in my life. Fearful, afraid, have it, and still afraid. Got the relationship, married, and still afraid in the relationship. Still afraid in the relationship. They're going to lose somebody. You got to worship God over that family. Helps you put it in perspective. In fact, when the Antichrist comes, because he is coming, he's going to manipulate through the spirit of mammon on the economic system. How do we know? Revelation 13:7, he says, no one could buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name, 666. Then we'll be able to buy or sell. It's going to be on the forehead or their hand. They said we'll be able to buy or purchase. Well, let me bring it today. That spirit is already here. Because what happens is you think, if I don't get this money, I'm going to hold from God. I'm going to hold from the relationship. Then I'll finally have what I need to get for myself. It's a lie. Because it controls, it manipulates, puts in fear. So let me give you the context. Jesus says there's a spirit and mammon can be on your stuff, your possessions. So here's who Haggai is talking to. These people have been 70 years under Babylonian captivity, so they were under the spirit and watching the spirit of Mammon, the Syrian god that was in Babylon. Now they have been released from captivity, just like so many people are saved, but Mammon still has a grip on their relationship with God, and it's affecting their harvest, it's affecting their companies, it's affecting their relationships, and they're not satisfied. And he says, you are living like you have pockets full of holes, and it's going out because you are still allowing the spirit of mammon. And here's what they were saying. Hey, we started 2 months on this project, but what about our house? Hey, we got to get this house. He says, you live in your nice paneled homes, and you have forgotten the work of God. So now you're in failure. You can't understand why you got your new relationship, you got your money, you got your career, and you still cannot find satisfaction. He said, here's the reason why. Verse 5, this is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Look what's happening to you. You have planted much, but harvest little. You are eating, not satisfied. You drink, but are still thirsty. You put on clothes, but cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with what, everybody? Holes. One translation says purses with holes. This is not a purse. I resent that. This is a man bag. He says, you can't figure this out. He said, I'm trying to tell you, and this is not about a building. He says, it's about the relationship. It's fallen. He said, in fact, to know if you're worshiping it is when somebody challenges it, you start getting angry, and some of you may be upset right now. It's showing you what you're worshiping. I'm not trying to be mean. It's showing what you're worshiping. So here God does. God says, hey, I want to bless you. I want to bless you. So I sent Cyrus to fill up your bags so you could go and take care of my work. See, the goal was the work. But the work wasn't about the house. It was about relationship. And so here is Cyrus, your job or whatever it is, filling up your bag. He's filling up the bag. Man, just filling it up. Look at this, filling it up. And God says, I want you to go build a place. So this is all code language. The house is about my presence being with you. I want relationship with you. Don't you understand this? This is what it was about. But Cyrus has blessed him to go do that. 2 months in, they let opposition, criticism, and fear get in him. And they start saying, what about our house? He said, and what you've done is you've taken out of my pocket and you said, me first. And so you start filling up that pocket. And you think you're getting away with it, but he's watching. But he says, here's what you've discovered. The more you plant and the more you dishonor me, it ain't working. You keep filling it up, and you keep losing it. You think, it's what I need. If I just get a better job and have money like that other guy drove up in that Lexus of the church. But you got your Lexus now. Why aren't you happy? He said, here's the answer. It's code language that you need to start falling in love with me again. And the way you can tell it's left stewardship and gone to worship is you are threatened when anybody challenges you on it. You're threatened. And he says, but when it's mine, you're not threatened because you're the one I'm provided and I'm the one that defends it. So the Lord speaks to him. He says, here's what you need to do. You ready? Come on, everybody. He said, this is what the Lord of heaven said. Look at what's happening to you. Now. Come on now. Do it today. Start today. Start getting back in relationship with me. Go up to the hills. Bring down timber and rebuild my house. Rebuild our relationship. Rebuild our trust. Get back to loving me. Get back to obeying me. Then I will have pleasure in it. He says, I'm going to be pleasure. He says, guys, I really want to bless you, but I have pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. So here's what God says. Here's what I want to do. I want to start blessing you back. He said, I'll start filling you up again. Oh, come on. How many are ready to be blessed? I got two of you out there. How many want to be blessed? I need about 2,000 of you. Come on. How many want to be blessed? And God starts filling it up. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. He starts filling up. Ha, ha, ha. He said, you ain't seen nothing yet. Let me fill this up. So here's what God does. God says, okay, here's what I'm going to do. Now that you worship me, you're going to do whatever I say and every word I say because you know I'm the one that trusts because it's about relationship. Because the house speaks, your house speaks of protection. It speaks of provision. It speaks of relationship. He says, this is what I want. I want to protect you. I want to forgive you. I want to bless you. And here's what I'm going to give you so much. You can learn to understand it and you can acquire it and enjoy some of it. Have a taste. Need some? Come on, I know you teenagers are cleaning out the kitchen. You can have this one. Come on. Those are chocolate. Go ahead, open up. They got chocolate in them. He said, you can eat some of this. He says, when you respond back to me, you don't have holes in your pocket. You're getting full. He said, I'll tell you how to allocate it. I'll show you can trust me in the tithe. I'll show you can trust me in the offering to do things for missionaries and do things for homeless vets. And you can do things like that. And you can start seeing it, not trust me, not say, well, what about mine? Do what the Spirit says. He said, then what's what I do? I'll show you how to come. He said, here, you got other pockets you're talking about. He said, I hadn't forgot. You seek first my kingdom, my righteousness and my kingdom. I remember that sock over there where you said you wanted that car. So you got to drive a rust bucket for a little bit. But watch this. I'm going to start having you put down 50 bucks a week away. And we're going to start putting that. I'm going to give you so much, you're going to start taking care of that car. Oh, and your kids for college. I know they're only 2 years old, but start the count now. Put 25 bucks. I'll show you how to start putting that over there and putting that over there and putting that over there. And what he starts doing is he starts you a lot of quiet. It. You can start acquiring. He starts filling up other pockets. Those little pockets, I want to go to college. Little pocket, God, I'd like to give me a new hairdo. I need some new sneakers, some new kicks, Pastor. He says, don't let those kicks be what you worship. You're so worried about every scene you styling, you have totally forgotten my presence in the house of God. And he says, when it gets empty, here's what I do. I come get my measuring device because I can trust you and I give you greater capacity for more because I know you're not going to hoard. I'll fill you up again. And then he says, here's what you're going to do. You can start sharing things with everybody. You don't just keep for yourself. You start sharing. and share it. Oh, this side of the audience getting, oh, you guys aren't getting it. Yeah, you start sharing. Come on, that's blessings coming down from heaven, man. That's chocolate. That's gold. Watch out. Incoming, 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 incoming. You start getting blessed. But then there's some people that are such deep relationship with you. All right, Jan, there you go. Jan, you got to catch better than that. Okay. My wife's over. She loves chocolate. But you know, we're in love. I'm in love with her more than I am you. So because of my love is deeper with her, something happens. Oh, sorry, baby. Incoming. It's gold, baby. Watch. Duck, baby. Duck. The deeper my relationship, I said, quit throwing stuff. Here you go, baby. Here you go. Here you go. Here you go. Why? Why? Because this lady right here, we're in the deeper relationship than I am with you. You may get one of these, because that's the depth of our relationship, but hers. And God is saying, this whole issue is not about your money. It's not about your career. It's not about your kids. It's about, are you worshiping me and do you adore me? All right, here you go. There you go, Liz. Liz, no, here you go, Liz. There you go. Are you seeing this, friends? But some of us are so fearful that you're going to go broke. I'm not picking on you. I'm just telling you, I've been where you are. And you think, I've been blessed. I got to hang on to mine. This is what's happening to you. You're trying to take from his, and it's not working. Got your new friend, got your new boyfriend, got your new church, got your new car. But this is always going to happen. But he says, how about we do this? Why don't we rebuild our relationship? And in my house, you're going to find forgiveness. You're going to find direction. You're going to find blessing. You're going to find overflow. Come on, folks. How many want some holy pockets? Come on, let's release praise to God. And let's thank him for what he's doing right now. Lord, you are in this place. You are blessing your people. So come on, everybody. Won't you take the praise that's inside of you? Just throw your praise up to God. Come on, just throw your praise up to him. Let him have it. Show him he's Lord. Show him he's Lord over everything, every possession, every issue, every relationship. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Come on, let's just lift up a worship and begin to tell him right now. We worship you, Lord.